From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the sermon for Sunday, March 6, 2022, the first Sunday in Lent. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to John chapter 11 and begins with the first verse. The holy gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You may be seated because it's a long reading. I think you guys are getting too used to this, sitting down during the gospel reading. After this week, no more. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus.
Lord, he whom you love is ill.
Jesus replied,
Martha, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
Let us go to Judea again.
The disciples responded,
Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. Are you going there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them.
After saying this, Jesus told the disciples,
Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.
Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will be all right.
Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
Let us also go, that we may die with him.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Jesus said,
Martha, your brother will rise again.
Lord, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, Martha went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
The teacher is here and is calling for you.
And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary quickly get up and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet, and she said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Jesus said to Mary,
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said,
See how he loved him.
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they believe that you sent me.
And when he said this, he cried out with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
Unbind him and let him go.
This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what it's like seeing a simple magic trick for the first time? Maybe it was when your grandpa or your uncle made that quarter appear out of your ear, or when someone made that same quarter disappear. How about card tricks? Whenever I see a card trick, especially if it works, I ask to see it being done again. I figure if they can do it twice, there's a chance that actually they know what they're doing. But if they can't make it happen twice, I figure it was just a fluke that they did it the first time. And so in the second time they're doing a card trick, I watch real close and I try and trick them, right? I try and figure out the trick, right? I figure out what's going on. So if the first time I put my card in the middle of the deck or grabbed a card from the middle of the deck, next time I'll grab it from the top. And then when I put it back in, I'm not going to put it in the same spot. I'm going to be real careful when I look at it and do all those things. And if they can do the card trick twice, if they can tell me what card I picked two times in a row without me telling them or showing them the card, then I begin to believe that they know what they're doing and that if they did the trick again, it would happen again. I begin to have some confidence in them. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that when something happens more than once, it begins to become possible. Not a mistake, not a fluke, but something that could reoccur. And if it's happened once and there have been witnesses to it, it's much easier to believe and maybe even expect that it could happen again. Now, I'm not just talking about card tricks, but something much more important and something seemingly more impossible. Like miracles, like resurrection. Resurrection is a subject and really the question of our gospel reading this morning. Do you believe in the resurrection? The question is central in our reading because it gets asked of Martha at about the midpoint of our reading, which is also just about the midpoint of John's gospel. But it's also central because it's at the center of the Christian faith. Our belief in the resurrection is essential to our hope of everlasting life, which Jesus makes clear in his conversation with Martha. But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. In our reading this morning, we find Jesus across the Jordan in the place where John had been baptizing at the beginning of his ministry. And Jesus has already been to Jerusalem a few times. He was there most recently after he healed the man who was born blind, who we read about last Sunday, and after he had shared his Good Shepherd discourse. We didn't read that this time in John's gospel, but the Good Shepherd discourse in that Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd in chapter 10, and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's one of the seven I am statements in John's gospel. There's another recorded in our reading this morning, and I don't know if you caught it amidst the 44 verses that we very dramatically read for you this morning. The I am statement in our reading this morning is nestled in the middle of the story, so it could be easy for us to miss it. But to miss it would miss the focal point or the pivot of the message of our reading, if not the message of the entire gospel. In fact, I might even suggest that John chapter 11, verses 25 to 26, could or should supplant John 3:16 as the synopsis of the gospel. Not just John's gospel, but the true meaning of the life and ministry of Jesus. So how is it that we might have missed these important verses? How does it get lost in the story about Lazarus? Details. Details, details, details. We've got a lot of details in the telling of the story of Lazarus. And in all those details, it's easy to miss something important. The details begin in the first verse when we learn that Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha are names that we recognize because they are very close to Jesus and they're referred to many times throughout his ministry. In fact, John counts on us recognizing Mary and Martha's name and even describes Mary as being the one who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and dried them with her hair. Friends, that hasn't even happened yet in the story. We're in chapter 11. That story is told in chapter 12. But John's so certain that we'll be familiar with this story that he alludes to that in chapter 11 before he even tells us that it has happened in chapter 12. And it's that Mary who with her sister sent a note to Jesus. And the note doesn't give us a lot of detail, but in its simplicity, it communicates a lot. Lord, the one whom you love is ill. Even without a name, Jesus knows who is being referred to. But somehow, and for some reason, Jesus appears unaffected by the news because he continues to go about his business. Apparently, Jesus is operating in some divine time zone where they probably don't have daylight savings, where time is relevant, relative, or irrelevant. 2 days pass before Jesus tells his disciples that it's time to return to Judea. And then he explains to them that our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep and I'm going to wake him up. This is yet another example of Jesus speaking on two different planes in John's gospel. Just as he did when he spoke to Nicodemus and he told him that you must be born again, born anew, born from above. But born anew, and Nicodemus didn't know what Jesus was talking about. The gospel writer explains that Jesus was talking about Lazarus' death, but the disciples thought he was merely referring to sleep. And when they do finally arrive at Bethany, we learn that Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. That detail is significant. It's significant because the Jews believed that the spirit hovered over or near the body for 3 days. Just in case that body was resuscitated and the spirit could enter back in. But on the 4th day, decomposition began and the spirit doesn't like the smell and it would leave. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. So no doubt he is dead. According to Jewish custom and all those who were there mourning, they all verified his death. And Lazarus was dead when Martha came out to meet Jesus, while Mary stayed at home. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died, she cried. Notice that even in her grief, Martha is not without faith and confidence in Jesus. She addresses him as Lord, as she and her sister did in the note that they sent. She professes her confidence in his power to prevent Lazarus' death. And then she continues, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Martha's faith is strong and her knowledge and trust of Jesus' relationship with God appears unwavering. Now here's where it gets really good. We're almost to verses 25 and 26, so you're going to want to pay attention because you don't want to miss it this time. Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." Martha, of course, thinks that he's talking about end times, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus again is speaking on two planes. His words have a dual meaning that often get lost on his hearers and on us. And then Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." There it is. Just like that, Jesus declares his power over death. That's no small thing. And I'd hate for that to get lost in the detail of this story. Jesus declares his power over death. Don't get me wrong, I think John 3:16 is wonderful. And I think it fits nice on signs that get held up at football games and the like. But this verse, This verse, without this verse, without the resurrection, God's love for the world would be a platitude. And do you realize the importance of when Jesus says this to Martha? Lazarus is dead. He is in the grave, stinking it up. And this is no mere platitude to Martha to make her feel better. He's in a better place. Martha, don't worry, God has a plan. No, Jesus is declaring that death is not the final answer. He is declaring that he holds the keys to everlasting life. He is declaring that he is the key to everlasting life. And I think the placement of this declaration here is significant. If Jesus had waited until after Lazarus had come out of the grave and said, "I am the resurrection and the life," his words would have been overshadowed by Lazarus' appearance coming out of the grave. Jesus speaks these words while the sting of death is most present, poignant, and real to Martha. And in her grief, he declares his power over death. Isn't that where the promise gives the most hope? In the midst of death? When the reality of death is upon you, news of resurrection and new life is the sweetest. That, my friends, is when the promise matters the most. And Jesus concludes his life-giving declaration by asking Martha if she believes. Remember, Lazarus is still in the grave. He is still in the tomb. So there's little for Martha to hold on here to hear except for her faith and trust in Jesus and his words. Lazarus hasn't come out of the grave yet. Do you believe in the resurrection? Her brother is dead. "Yes, Lord," she says. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Now her words are reminiscent of the words of the man born blind, who says to Jesus near the conclusion of his healing story at the end of chapter 9, Jesus asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, and the man born blind replies, "Lord, I believe." Now, Jesus' power over death is finally affirmed at the end of our story when he arrives at the tomb and the smell of death is in the air. Jesus, like the woman who will later women who will later come to his tomb, asks that that stone be rolled away. And like he did with the blind man, Jesus tells Lazarus what he must do to be healed. In a loud voice, he cries out, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out. The text is clear to say the dead man came out. He was dead, my friends, and they all knew it. And yet he came walking out of the grave, out of the tomb. And Jesus told them to unbind him and let him go because death no longer had a hold on him. Lazarus was given new life. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead because he is the resurrection and the life. But raising Lazarus from the dead is not what Jesus came into the world that God so loved to accomplish. No, Jesus came to defeat the power of death and to offer everlasting life to all who believe in him, all who believe in the power of the resurrection. The resurrection of Lazarus clearly foreshadows Jesus' own resurrection. And like a card trick that is successfully done more than once, but so much more important, it demonstrated that resurrection from the dead is possible for Jesus. For there were witnesses to this resurrection, professional mourners, people who were experienced with the finality of death. And yet Jesus showed up and demonstrated his power over death and all that binds us to our earthly life by calling Lazarus out from the grave. No doubt the news of Lazarus' resurrection would have still been fresh in the minds of the religious authorities. And in the minds of the followers of Jesus when he too was placed in a tomb and the stone was rolled into place. So it makes sense. It makes sense that they would have placed guards at the entrance because now resurrection was a possibility. It could happen. It had happened once, it could happen again, and it did happen again. We began the season of Lent with a story about resurrection. And 6 short weeks from now, we will conclude the season with resurrection again. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." And then he asked Martha if she believed. My friends, this Lent, I pose the same question to you. Do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in the promise of everlasting life? Amen. Next Sunday, we skip over the story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet with costly oil in John 12, but we'll read about how Jesus, who has demonstrated his power over death this Sunday, will demonstrate his humility by washing the feet of his disciples on that night in which he would be betrayed in John 13.